This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to the podcast of The Petri Dish on Joy 94.9.
Petri Dish, noun. A small, shallow dish of thin glass or plastic with a loose cover used especially for cultures in bacteriology. Petrie was an assistant to the eminent bacteriologist Robert Koch. In 1887, Petrie introduced a vessel for growing bacteria that consisted of two round rim plates, one serving as a cover for the other. Petri dish. You're listening to the Petri Dish on Joy 94.9, and today we're talking about stem cells. But first, my co-host, Shane.
How are you going, Wendy?
I'm going very well.
Yes.
So what are we going to talk about when we talk about stem cells?
Well, we're going to talk about recent events in the United States with Obama lifting the ban on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. That's the reason why we're doing the episode.
That's right. And we're going to take you through exactly what is a stem cell and where you can get stem cells from.
Yes. And we're going to talk about embryonic stem cells and what classifies life, because there's a big debate about that. That's a controversy today. We're going to talk you through the process of fertilization.
That's right. And our myth that we're going to bust today is whether if you eat stem cells, such as Christopher Reeve did on a recent South Park episode, will you become strong like Superman?
That's
what you're going to find out.
I protested against that, but it should be an interesting topic to talk about.
That's right. And remember, this scientific fact is going to be about cells and that an egg is a cell.
Yes, that's right. But first, here's our first track. You're listening to Joy 94.9 with the Petri Dish. And then just before we go on to talking about what a stem cell is, our producer, Kane, has set up a Twitter for us. Wendy and I don't really know how to use Twitter. But he's told me to say that if you want to track us, we want us to track you, type in a message and put #pdish and we'll be able to track you and you can track us. And we'll have a little online forum as we're on air, and Kane will answer any questions that arise from what we're talking about tonight. But if you're scared of Twitter and you don't have a Twitter, never fear. You can still SMS us on 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949. Or email us at onair@joy.org.au.
Nice. That's right. So never fear. SMS is here.
Yes. But if you have Twitter, go for it.
Twitter way.
#pdish at the end of your message for us.
Excellent. But for now, we're going to talk about what is a stem cell. Everyone's talking about it. It's a controversial issue. But we're going to just tell you exactly what it is. So all stem cells are unspecialized cells, and they give rise to more specialized cells. So what is a specialized cell? That's like a red blood cell or a muscle cell. These are cells that have a specific purpose and they look a certain way. Your skin cell is another specialized. Unspecialized is sort of like a baby cell in a way. It's before it's kind of grown up.
So it's kind of like us deciding our careers at the moment.
That's right. Exactly. But once you're sort of old and you've decided your career, it's really hard to change careers.
Yes.
But whereas when you're young, then you could be anything you want. That's exactly right. Now, there are certain areas of specialization. So, say, when you're born, then you could become absolutely anything.
Yes.
This is assuming that you've got a little bit of intelligence and maybe a little bit of luck. But
no,
all cells are...
You do whatever you want to do out
that's
there.
That's right. And all cells are born and they can be whatever they want to be. This is a fertilized egg, actually. It can be anything. And it's called totipotent. That's the handy word
and
for so much potential.
Is totipotent the only existing egg cell? Is there any other places?
Now, a fertilized egg is only
fertilized egg.
Yeah, that's the only one that has the potential to be absolutely anything. However, a pluripotent stem cell has the potential to be everything except a fetus, so except a reproductive cell,
and
that's called pluripotent. So it can be a muscle cell, a blood cell, a skin cell, a whole bunch of cells, but it can't be a fetus. It can't actually turn into a person.
Okay,
this
so
sort of cell.
A totipotent cell can become a human.
Yeah, so that's got the full potential. Pluripotent, got a lot of potential. And a multipotent cell is like an adult stem cell. So it can still specialize, but it's kind of already gone to uni. So it's already headed in one direction, really. And it's still got a little bit of room to move.
So you've picked your course, but you're not too sure.
Exactly, exactly. You may be still deciding your major. Precisely. So these are the sorts of stem cells that we have. And so hopefully you've guessed by now that not all stem cells come from the embryo.
Yes. So if all these listeners out there think, oh, stem cells are just from embryos, we've just told you it's not.
No, that's right. They can come from your bone marrow. They can come from your teeth as well. Almost every part of the body that they're realizing can actually produce certain types of stem cells, or that cells that will continue to specialize.
So what's the big fuss over embryonic stem cells? Why do we all want them?
Well, embryonic stem cells can become any cell. And so this is exciting, because if we learn exactly what it takes to get this cell and then turn it into a skin cell or a muscle cell, then we could use it to regrow skin cells, for example, or muscle cells. Whereas if you've got a cell that's already a little bit specialized, you can't do whatever you want with it. It's already a little bit specialized in a certain area. And so scientists want the most control over their cells, and so they want to be able to use these embryos. That's what's exciting about embryonic stem cells.
So embryonic stem cells could also create another human life. Is that right? Is that
That's correct, because like we were talking about before, how they've got the potential to create anything. One of those things is they could create another person. They could create fetal cells.
Is that the same when they create artificial organs? Is that with using an embryonic stem cell, or that you'd be using an adult stem cell line?
Well, if you want to create cells from a liver, you could use some adult stem cells that you know are going to be specialized in that liver area. So they've already studied a course in liver making, and you could use them to create liver cells.
Okay, so that's the adult stem cells.
This is the adult stem cells that you could use, that's right.
And so the embryonic stem cells, they'll see the liver and be like, ooh, I want to be that, and change to that. Is that the principle?
That's exactly right. But if you took, say, heart cells that have started doing a course in heart cells, I'm loving this analogy, by the way, with this school career, so I'm just going to work with it. If you have already developed, if a cell's already started to specialize to do something with the heart, to become a heart cell, and then you put it in the bone marrow, for example, it wouldn't develop to become a bone stem cell, okay. To become a bone cell.
What would it become? Nothing?
I'm not really sure, actually, if you put a heart cell. I think it would probably just die.
You wouldn't have a heart.
Because it wouldn't have... That's right, because it wouldn't have any function there. So it would probably just degrade and your bones would be like, what are you doing here? I don't want to deal with this.
But I want to beat here.
No, don't go putting personality into our stem cells.
Okay, sorry.
We'll have enough trouble when we start talking about embryos.
Okay. What else do we need to know about stem cells?
Well, currently, so everyone seems to be talking about them, and we don't hear a lot about the actual research that is actually showing benefits that we've got. It seems like there's all this research that's kind of getting us somewhere, but they've actually made over 50 human therapies using mature adult stem cells. So stem cells are actually starting to help out and be used as therapies.
Oh, wow. And these are adult stem cells.
These are adult. Well, because early stem cells that are coming from embryos are such a hot topic and they're so controversial, then a lot of countries have actually banned using them in research. And so the therapies that have come out of them, there hasn't been really a lot, because people don't want us taking stem cells from embryos, even though they have the potential to become everything. There's a concern out there, which Shane will discuss.
Yeah, so I will discuss that later.
That's right. So perhaps I should stop. But there's also a little bit, whilst we used to think that adult stem cells were pretty useless and that embryonic stem cells were the bomb because they could become absolutely everything.
Because back in the day, there was lots of skepticism about adult stem cells. They can't do anything.
That's right. They've already decided their course. Yeah. You can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of thing. Mm. But what are they telling us about that now?
They're telling us about that now, that they can be induced to do what they want them to do. They can find it easier to manipulate, actually. Embryonic stem cells.
Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, I interrupted you before you...
Not at all.
But yes, there's quite a lot of interesting therapies. And it's kind of... I was reading a study today on... that was on US Health. It might be a bit biased, but it was talking about... They treated a child who had a muscular disorder with embryo stem cells. what actually ended up happening was the embryo stem cells, he also must have had some other cancer cells in him, but he had tumours spreading quite rapidly because of that, like the embryo stem cells, because they can be anything they... Because they can be anything.
Yeah.
If it sees another cancer cell, it's going to start reproducing.
That's right. So, where you put the embryo will depend on what it actually specialises in, because the surrounding cells and the surrounding proteins and hormones actually tell the cell what it should become. And so, if you put an embryo or any sort of specialised cell near another cell, then those surrounding tissue and everything is going to tell it, right, you should become this. And so, with this little boy, obviously, the embryo, this unspecialised cell, saw the cancer cells and was put in that environment where then they just became cancerous cells. So, pretty fascinating.
It's all very... Stem cells are very fascinating. Hope you're learning more than it's just about embryos and adult stem lines.
That's right. And if anything is unclear, do send us an SMS on 0427JOY949 or Twitter away.
Twitter away. Remember, just hash PDish us and we'll respond. Or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. But before I go into a bit more of the political controversies, I think it's time for a track. Let your mind be at ease with stem cells. You're listening to Joy 94.9, and that was Metric with Help, I'm Alive.
Great song.
It's a great song. They're going to eat me alive. Oh no, stem cells, they're going to eat me. No, they're not.
Of course not. We're here to say that stem cells are okay. Yes. By the Petri dish.
So, I'm going to talk about, I think, because we're going to talk about some recent discoveries with stem cells or experiments with using stem cells.
That's right. Our science news today is all stem cell focused.
Yes. So, this is from the University of Jerusalem, and they're using stem cells to reverse birth defects in mice. So, what they've done is they've exposed these mice to pesticides and heroin while they're pregnant. And generally, doing this to the female mice will create retarded offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is that when they treat the neural stem, so when they inject new stem cells...
What's into the neural stem?
It's the base of the brain.
Uh-huh.
So, they inject the stem cells into the baby mice.
Yeah.
And they found that as the mice grows older, it actually reverses the damage done by the pesticides and heroin.
That's amazing. That's really cool. So, there's faith for Stuart Little yet.
Yes. So, Stuart Little's mother liked pesticides. Ooh. It's a little bit controversial there.
There's life left in little Stewie.
He might come and sue you. That mouse might come and sue you.
I'll squish him like a little bug.
So, that is quite amazing. It has that shows a really great potential in babies born with brain defects, or maybe even adults who have brain defects or things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's as well.
That's right. That's amazing. That's why we love stem cells.
So, another great thing about stem cells, so some stem cells come from embryos, but stem cells can also help us become fertile if you're infertile.
Really?
Yeah, so the University of California has found that they could program pluripotent stem cells.
Which we've just learned have a lot of potential to become any sort of cell. Anything. Except for...
A fetus, that's right.
I'm
learning as well. And they can change the precursors of germline cells, so the cells that produce eggs and sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially this therapy can be used to make fertile people.
So if you're infertile, you can become fertile using stem cells.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is they're reprogramming skin cells to do it, so that's quite amazing as well.
Oh, so that's an adult stem cell.
Yeah.
That's already, so they're retracking, taking it back.
Yeah.
So they're being able to use adult stem cells for these things they never thought possible before.
Exactly. And, okay, stem cells now aren't all good. We've said the good about them. But stem cells are also linked to cancer, and one of them is breast cancer. And what they've found is that in breast cancer development, stem cells are actually a part of the development. Which is, it's not a good reputation right now for the stem cell, but this is good news for breast cancer researchers, because now they have another into studying and trying to find a cure for this disease.
Well, that's right, because cancer is caused by cells multiplying too quickly.
Yeah.
And because stem cells have this potential to specialise and multiply, it makes sense that stem cells would be attached to some sorts of cancers.
Yeah, and I think some stem cells may be found in the mammary glands as well and things like that, because having babies requires renewal of those tissues in there.
Oh.
So anyway, this is another
topic. You know more about breasts than I do. This is trouble.
This is trouble. I'm a bit concerned, everybody. I know a lot about breasts. So that's a, even though it's a downer for stem cells, it's an it's a good way to understand what's actually going on for scientists to try and help find a cure.
That's right. Yeah, that's excellent.
And okay, back to the good side of stem cells. Mm-hmm. So, scientists at the Baylor College of Medicine, published in Developmental Cell, have found that they can induce liver cells, so portal liver cells, the type of liver cells, to produce insulin to help treat type 1 diabetes.
So, they take adult liver stem cells and they can get them to specialize to produce insulin. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is quite amazing. And no, this is only for type 1 diabetes, not type 2. So, type 1 is the type that you're born with and it's an autoimmune disease. So, your body attacks the alpha islets of your pancreas.
Whoa, slow down. So, what is your body attacking there?
Also, the beta... Oh, it's attacking your pancreas.
It's attacking your pancreas, that's right.
Yes, and that pancreas makes your insulin. And so, you can't have insulin, but replacing it with the liver cells is a treatment.
Yeah, that means that your body can relearn how to make insulin. Your liver. So, bugger the pancreas. Let's get the liver to make this using stem cells.
Exactly. So, it's a good cure for an autoimmune disease.
That's right. So, hopefully by now we're realizing how good it is to have some cells that are constantly specializing.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And science has come a long way because of this. And you've heard us talk a lot about adult stem cells. So, maybe we should take you through a history of the politics behind stem cells.
Do it.
And why there's a giant study in adult stem cell lines. So, back in 2001, when a former President Bush, George W. Bush, in America.
Who was that? I don't remember that.
We try to ignore that period. But he actually passed a bill that limited federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. So, this meant for stem cell researchers in the US that they had to go and find money from external sources such as state funding. So, state in America, state and federal funding are two different things, I think similar to Australia. So, they had to rely on state funding and private funding, and that was quite difficult to get. And at this time, it's actually kind of drying up now, especially with the economic crisis. So, in 2008, here comes Obama, and in his presidential campaign, he promised to lift the ban on embryonic stem cell research, which he has done.
That's amazing.
And it's great. So, embryonic stem cell research will now be continuing because it's quite a slow down process. So the idea was to slow that down and encourage research into adult stem cell lines, which is being really, like, it's kind of, I guess it's a kind of a good thing, I guess, because we're...
Well, that's right, because one of the arguments that when, I remember in 2001, when people had these huge debates about embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells, and one of the arguments that people who are against embryonic stem cells said, look, if we put all of our money into adult stem cells, we'll be able to do stuff with them. But if we start dividing our money, then we're going to have this moral problem with embryonic stem cells, which Shane's going to talk about before.
Yes, because the problem is that is an embryo life?
That's right, and because you would be producing embryos to therefore take their stem cells, whereas to take stem cells from bones, for example, not so dramatic. But what's the situation in Australia? Can we research using embryos in Australia?
In Australia, we can research using embryos, except we can only use the excess embryos that we've created for artificial reproductive technologies.
Right. So, if you've got IVF and you've got some extra embryos in there,
yes,
then you can use those for research.
Because usually in the past, those embryos would be discarded. Mm-hmm. And in America, there's something like 600,000 frozen unused embryos. And so, there's another...
Weird imagery are we all getting? Just these embryos floating around.
I'm going to become anything. When I grow up.
Is that your embryo voice, by the way?
Yes, it is. A lot of it will be coming up next. But so these 600,000, another argument to do with the embryos, there's 600,000 unused embryos. What do we do with them? Do we just destroy them and not use them for research in science? Or do we reuse them for research in science? And that's another tack that, you know, the groups that are anti embryo research, what to do with these leftover embryos.
That's right, because you may as well just use them for research. If you're anti-human life, they're not producing them for the sole purpose of dying. They're, in fact, producing them to become
to support people, life.
But they're not being chosen.
And if you ever research this debate, like if you ever just type in, I think Christian Science,
don't do it.
Do it, Christian Science. and the arguments for it is quite interesting. They relate this to the same as war, using humans as shield in war. I'm like, oh my god.
I worry about this, and we will get into this next.
Yes, we will.
We're very keen to get onto the debate, I think. So let's have a track and get onto this debate about. Yeah. The controversy of embryonic stem cells.
And remember, you can Twitter us. I'm quite excited about this Twitter because it's right in front of me right now. But just type #PDish, like type your message and #PDish, and we're able to see it and answer any of your questions or opinions. Or you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
You're listening to the Petri Dish on Joy 94.9, and today we're talking about stem cells. What are they? Where do they come from? Why do we care? But right now, our controversy is embryonic stem cells.
Yes. Well, it's not really... The controversy we're going to talk about is embryonic stem cells. But the big controversy about them is what actually classifies as life. Because the big argument that we have from people against embryonic stem cell research is that it's life, we're destroying life, and that is not the will of God. And we're creating life purposely to destroy it. When we actually don't create embryos. Like, that's illegal here. Not in America anymore, but it is illegal here to do that. And we actually just use embryos that are left over from artificial reproductive technologies.
That's right. So, what do people say about that? Are they quite happy to have these excess embryos? I still think that if you're against embryonic stem cells, you're against it full blast.
Yeah, that means you might be against artificial reproductive technologies as well.
You might be. God's will are less. So take me through it. So what is human life? Because if an embryo, if by the end of this discussion we've convinced you, or perhaps if you SMS us, you will have convinced us that embryos are or are not life. But if they're not life, then there's no debate there, really.
Yeah, so let's go through it. I have broken this down, summarized this a very long textbook chapter. Okay, so fertilization after ovulation takes place at takes about 24 hours. So human sperm can actually survive in the female
reproductive system.
I was trying to think of a nice word for
it. Trust Shane to not know the words. In the female, whatever it is you guys have down there.
I don't want to know. And they can survive about 48 hours in there. And it takes them about 10 hours to navigate to the female reproductive tract. All the way to the fallopian tube where it fertilizes the egg. So it's quite a journey for this little swimmer.
That's right. That's quite a rite of passage she's going on.
And only one of them can get in there as well.
Oh, it's a race where there's no second prize.
Yeah, all these dumb males swimming towards an egg. So the next stage after that is after about 2.5 or 3 days, the egg cell starts dividing. So the zygote, what it's now called, it starts dividing. And after about 16 divisions, and these are called blastomeres, these little pockets of divisions.
Mm-hmm.
After about 60 divisions, the egg zygote leaves the fallopian tube
mm-hmm.
3 to 4 days after the
so it starts to make its own little journey. Yes. So now the egg and the sperm have kind of divided and come together. They've come together and then they've divided and now they leave the fallopian tubes.
Yes. And so the next step is they find their uterine cavity and the cell division continues within the zygote.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an outer layer which releases enzymes to break down the uterine wall to implant itself in there.
Right. So enzymes speed up the reaction to something.
Yeah. So that's what an enzyme is. And while it's actually... It makes so that causes uterus lining starts to bleed, and that actually forms the placenta. Begins to form the placenta with the embryo in it.
Right. Oh, so
it's quite a special moment there. So the embryo.
I gotta say, I'm having a bit of a special moment here.
So that's what happens when I want to have a baby.
I'm okay. Freaked out that Shane knows more about this than I do, but excited at the same time.
When you're pregnant, I'm like, what day are you up to? I'll tell you what's happening right now.
That's right.
So, okay, let's skip ahead a bit. So, after 13 days, so mm-hmm. between 6 and 13, so 13 days, we now have the placenta is formed, the embryo is now anchored into the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
The embryo has a yolk sac as well, like a little bit, like we're like a... All embryos are the same, so even a chicken egg, so we're kind of similar.
Right.
So we do have yolk.
And what happens to the yolk?
They actually become our blood cells, our red blood cells, our non-nucleated cells.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So, and then this is also when the zygote starts to differentiate itself into two distinct hemispheres.
And what also, do you mean by that? So, it changes, so you start to get, like, the head area.
And so, it
like
knows where the head and tail is.
Okay.
And it also knows, and it also forms three distinct layers. The ectoderm, which later becomes your skin, your hair, lenses of your eyes, lining to your internal and external ear, your nose, your mouth, anus, tooth enamel, pituitary, and mammary glands.
Don't think you were getting away with that. You were, like, putting it together with all these other things. It's in there.
Yeah, it is
and
in there.
And I spotted it.
I did say it. Let me continue about
that. All right, sorry. It's a layer of skin. This is the ectoderm. This is everything. So our bodies are dividing into three separate layers, and this is one of them.
So all these if you think about it, ectoderm is the things that are on that we can see clearly on our bodies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you got the mesoderm, which is the intermediate layer, and these become your muscles, your bones, your lymphatic tissues, some of your heart and lung cells, your reproductive and excretory systems as well. So they're things that you can't really see, but they're easily accessible. So just underneath your skin.
Yeah. And what's the inner layer?
The inner layer is called the endoderm, and this becomes your lungs, tongue, tonsils, urethra, glands, bladder, and your digestive tract. So you'll be beginning.
Wow. So by now, so what date are we up to now where we start developing these layers that then become?
We're only at day 13, so only about after 2 weeks we have these several layers.
Wow.
And also we have a little bit of the notochord, which will later become the brain. It's not developed yet, but it's there.
Okay.
So, but that actually happens 3 days later. That's when it starts to mature. Where it's the process called neurulation. So, there's this tube in the embryo called a neural tube, and it kind of folds in. If you want to think of like a valley, so two mountains, and the valley is the neural tube.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so, the neural tube is formed about the 16th day. And there's cells called the neurocrest cells that begin to differentiate and migrate extensively into our neurons.
Okay. So, by differentiate, we mean what exactly?
So, we mean that they have stem cells. So, these layers have stem cells in them.
Ooh, that's our buzzword. Can differentiate into anything. They can grow and become anything.
So, these cells are now becoming brain cells. Neurons and our epidermis as well. Glands, gliative, and connective tissues of the head. So, our head starts to start forming.
And we start getting a brain.
Yeah, and our...
At day 16. 16 are we up to?
Yeah, and our digestive system starts to... coming to form as well. So 17 to 19 days, where it's clearly distinct that we have a head, a tail, this neural plate, which will later become our brain, neural plate and a groove, which becomes our brain and our nervous system, and our blood cells are fully developed, and they are close to alongside epithelial cells, which will later become our blood veins, and they're forming all at the same time. So this at day 20.
There's a lot of action happening.
There's a lot of action. It's quite an intensive process.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. I mean, I guess I always thought that to produce a person, that would be a complex process.
So, yeah. We are quite big compared to a full stop. Then, at this time now, there's also a gene called the Sonic the Hedgehog gene.
No.
Yes, there is. So, it's named after... It looks under the microscope, it looks like a hedgehog. And so, scientists were like, let's name it Sonic the Hedgehog because they all play Sega.
That is ridiculous. Okay.
And so, this is... So, scientists who you want to use embryonic stem cells would have to use the embryos before this point. Because Sonic the Hedgehog... is actually responsible for sending signals to these stem cells to begin differentiating into different types of cells. So, the totipotency of the embryo is starting to lose its totipotency.
Right. So, it can't become everything because Sonic the Hedgehog, can't believe I just said that, but Sonic the Hedgehog tells the cells, you've got to start becoming skin cells, you've got to become a heart cell, you've got to do this. So, the scientists need to get there before all this division is happening. Yeah,
before it happens. So, up to this point, would you think that this is life?
I don't think so. I mean, it's complex. It's a complex process. But if your cells haven't started dividing and becoming what their potential is to become, why would it be? What are the arguments to say that it is life?
Exactly. Well, surprisingly, like, interestingly enough, just after this process, so after Sonic the Hedgehog does his thing,
mm-hmm.
our endocardial muscles begin to form. And
What's an endocardial muscle?
Endocardial is our heart muscle. So, cardio, when things of cardio, cardio equals heart. Endocardio, inside your heart.
Ooh.
Ooh, there we go. I sound like my science teacher now. Oh, no.
You sounded like your science teacher a long time ago.
So, they begin to form, and the heart-to-heart tubes begin to form, and it actually starts to take on this S shape, and it also starts beating. So, it starts to contract.
This is before or after Sonic?
After Sonic.
So, after. So, you don't even have a heartbeat.
No heartbeat until after Sonic the Hedgehog. So, scientists take the embryo before the heartbeat starts, and even before your brain's actually fully developed as well. So, to me, I don't think that really classifies... For me, personally...
You still look like a tadpole, right? There's still a tail there. It's not even...
You look like there's a tail there, but your head... You have your head there. It's distinctive. It's very distinctive. You have a head, and your face starts to come in as well at about day 30.
And when are they taking out the embryos? What day?
They're taking it in within the first 15 days.
Right. So, you don't have a head.
You don't have a head, but you have the two hemispheres. They can tell which ends which. Well,
I'm still having trouble with that. No, ridiculous joke.
So, we're running out of time, so I'm not going to go into the other rest of the stages, but I think that's an interesting point that the brain and the heart only start developing after Sonic the Hedgehog, and scientists have to grab the embryo right before it.
So, perhaps if you'd like to SMS whether you think that is where life begins, we've given the facts... You decide.
Yeah, you decide. So, you can tell us your opinion by SMSing us on 0427JOY949, emailing onair@joy.org.au, or Twittering us at twitter.com. And if you type in a message and put #PDish at the end of it, we'll receive it.
That's right. And up next, we'll be talking about whether if you ate stem cells, would you become strong like Superman?
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and you're here with the Petri Dish and Kane and Wendy discussing about the next segment.
Because
we're running out of time, so we have no time to play another track. But I don't know. I refuse to be part of this because I don't think South Park is legitimate. Like, I draw my line. My draw line is at South Park.
Well, because in every episode of the Petri Dish, we like to take a modern phenomenon, a movie, a modern character, and we like to talk about the science behind it. And so today's stem cells, and we decided to break down South Park. And our producer, Kane, has seen a particularly relevant episode of South Park.
I have seen this episode. It's quite disgusting.
Kane, tell us what happens in this episode.
So, Kane's our producer, and I'm going to go off air, and he's going to talk all about it.
So, anyway, it's got the late Christopher Reeves in it, and he's campaigning for more stem cell research. And after they allow the stem cells to be used, he starts to suck the stem cells out of the fetuses. And soon he becomes mobile again. And after a while, he starts to get superpowers, just like when he was Superman back in the TV series. So, his former nemesis in the TV show, Gene Hackman, who played Lex Luthor as Superman, takes on Christopher Reeves for his unorthodox usage of the fetuses and goes out actively to get the fetuses banned. And once he stopped Christopher Reeves, he... takes him away to the Phantom Zone. If anybody's read the comic books, you'll know what the Phantom Zone is. It's a dimension in the...
Don't worry about the Phantom Zone. What's important here is if a paralyzed Christopher Reeve eats the stem cells, would he have gotten his bodily functions back? Could he become Superman again by eating stem cells?
I can't believe we're legitimizing this.
Are we legitimizing Kane? What's going on here?
Well, do we want to talk about why he wanted the stem cells to start with? Like, the real Christopher Reeves, the guy in the wheelchair that lost his mobility from the horse.
I can talk about that. Yeah. So, Christopher Reeves is, he played Superman, as you may or may not know. And during the filming of one of his movies, he fell off a horse. And that caused damage to his spinal cord and made him a quadriplegic. Is that right?
Yeah.
And stuck in a wheelchair. And when stem cells came about, stem cells could potentially repair his spinal cord and allow him to walk again and also breathe properly and do everyday things normally. And he was a very big campaigner while he was alive for stem cell research, embryonic at our stem cell lines. He was a big man on the forefront, and, you know, unfortunately, he passed away a few years back.
Just a year going on, clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if he had eaten the stem cells, how successful would that be?
Well, I don't think that they would have done anything. He would have just digested them like a steak.
That's right.
So scarily enough.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because your stomach acids would break down the stem cells.
But what happened if a stem cell got caught, like, didn't go all the way and just, like, lived in your tooth or something? Because all of it may not go down.
Well, then the tissue that the stem cell is attached onto, like, whether it be on your tooth or on your throat, it would start to convert into that sort of cell. So, it would copy that cell and start to proliferate, making a small growth on it.
So the only thing that could really actually happen is that he has a giant tooth. More teeth.
Or a growth attached to the tooth, potentially. But I think that probably not much would happen. I think
No. That it could possibly cause a tumour, but it wouldn't actually in his throat or his mouth, but he wouldn't actually be able to digest it and then it go into his body and allow him to walk, let alone gain superpowers.
So there you go, Shane. We haven't legitimized South Park. Oh, we've actually taken it back and denied it its existence.
We're cracking this code.
That's good. But how about if you just... I want to know, if I put some stem cells right on my skin, like where I have an injury, will they proliferate into...
I think there has to be a certain environment that they can survive in. And I think on the skin, it might be too acidic and they might just die.
Oh, no.
Actually, the outside of your skin is very basic to kill bacteria. Your skin excretes this stuff called sebum, which is high in salts. And
we have a debate here. Wendy's going, no, it's not.
So, you excrete sebum out of your sebaceous glands. Not semen. And
semen.
And this is the stuff that kills off bacteria. So, if you just rubbed stem cells onto your skin, the sebum would kill the stem cells because of the highly basic environment, and they wouldn't be able to attach in and grow and proliferate.
Is this a science controversy, Wendy? Because
I don't think it is a controversy. I think one of us is right and one of us is wrong.
But we can talk about it one day.
But either way, but the question of actually if you did just eat stem cells, whether that would just cause random growths through your body, I'm not particularly sure. On the theory of that stem cells do attach to their surroundings and then grow and become them, then it would seem that you could just get growths. And I did do quite a lot of searches on the internet on actually legitimate science websites for eating stem cells, consuming stem cells, and nothing really comes up. So if someone does have an answer to this, what would happen if you ate stem cells? No doubt you would not become strong like Superman.
Well, our digestive system is quite the horrific thing, like the enzymes, the acidicness, and the like changing a lot of breaking down cells, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a highly dangerous environment.
That's right, for a little cell to try and survive in, so... We'll see.
Well, out of this episode, it wasn't really the fact that he was eating the stem cells that got me. It was that he gained super strength and super vision. Just like Superman had, he even shot lasers out of his eyes. Now, would you be able to increase your strength by taking in stem cells? Like, if you had them injected into your muscles, would your muscles grow big and strong? Or if you had them injected into your eyes, would you have better night vision?
Well, the thing is with the stem cells is that they have to proliferate, or they have to become cells around them. They don't become more than that. They just become the cells around them. So, possibly, they wouldn't have actually any superpowers.
Well, I think we can finally conclude, though, that it can't happen.
And yes, we can. Yes,
finally, what that can't happen.
That's right. Do not try and eat your stem cells today. Moral.
Don't start gnawing at your brain.
No. And very quickly, our remember this fact for today is that an egg is a cell. It's a single cell, and an ostrich egg is the larger cell. So even though there's tiny little cells throughout your body, the cell of an egg that you eat is actually one cell.
Is that? I think that's kind of freaking out for some reason. I don't know why.
I just think about it, and it kind of creeps me out thinking that that little yolk in the middle of the egg is.
It's like trying to eat a full stop. Anyway, that's time for another track before we leave. Just one final track.
Well, how about we listen to Little Birdie's Brother?
We're running out of time, and sorry, couldn't bring you the rest of that Little Birdie track.
But it's a great track. Now, next week on the show, we're going to be talking about water, which was something that someone asked us. What sort of water should they be drinking? Hydrated, extra minerals added. We'll be talking about that.
And, yeah, I think that could be a controversy. I think it's water, what kind of drink?
That's right. Our myth is going to be, do you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day to be healthy?
And we're going to talk, maybe we remember this, maybe the El Niño, La Niña fact.
That's right. We'll talk about the drought, the tunnel, water everywhere.
That's actually from Year 10 Geography, and I actually don't remember it at all.
Excellent. So remember that fact.
Yeah, so thank you for joining us tonight on the Petri Dish, and I hope you've learned all about stem cells and you're a bit more informed about the debates and what actually a stem cell is. Oh, and by the way, Wendy won the skin debate, if you're
following. Thank you.
Acidic.
That's right.
Kane was part right. Sebum, not semen. Sebum does get excreted, but
but it is an acidic environment on our skin.
It is. So, thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to us again next week on The Petri Dish, your Tuesdays, 10 p.m. And again, if you want any more, you can just go to joy.org.au, click on Programs and follow The Petri Dish link, or you can click on thepetridish949.blogspot.com, or if you want to Twitter us, just #pdish us. And also, you can listen to the podcast.
We are just everywhere. This is getting ridiculous. Everywhere.
But on our blog, there's a link to our podcast. You can download them, listen to them if you want to listen again to anything. But I think it's time for my favorite part of the show. Thanks for listening to The Petri Dish tonight. Our tonight's show has been brought to you by Little P for Phosphorus and the number 19. Have a good night.
Good night.
You're listening to the podcast of The Petri Dish on Joy 94.9. For more information and the latest science updates, you can check out the blog or more podcasts at joy.org.au/thepetridish.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.